Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing?
I'm fine. How about you?
It was a bit of a lineup, my friend. I was at the poll this morning.
Oh, yeah.
This morning. I voted early. I wanted to get out of the way because I don't want to stand in line on Tuesday. But it was still busy.
Well, so I voted on, I went to vote on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the line was so long that I didn't vote Wednesday.
Okay.
And I went back on Thursday. Thursday? Yeah. Bad. When the weather turned bad. No lines, so I got in really quick.
There you go.
Yeah.
So voting is weather dependent.
Yeah, it must be. It must be.
Let's see what happens on Tuesday.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be an interesting race for sure. We're going to talk a little bit about that on today's show, and you know, talk a little bit about the major parties, some of the differences, and we'll have a terrific guest to go through that with us.
Yeah, we're also going to talk about alternative investments. Why are they becoming increasingly popular? Mm-hmm. You're going to hear a lot about alternatives and liquid alternatives and what, you know, so what are they? How do you invest in them? What's the benefits of them? Why you may possibly want to have them in your portfolio?
Yep.
Those types of things, we're going to have that conversation today too.
Yep. That sounds good. And let's talk a little bit about, as we often do, just kind of a week in review here. I'm going to throw something at you here because, I just don't think the markets didn't do a whole heck of a lot. There wasn't a lot of really major market moving noise.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of sidelines just drifting until earnings season started.
Yeah, I think there was nothing politically that really moved anything. There wasn't really anything economically that was going to move anything. And so, yeah, pretty much flat week, nothing great. However,
yeah,
I'll call this week the week of the banks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, so I'll start off in the United States. JP Morgan came out with their numbers, as well as Fargo, PNC Financial, so forth. Came out with their numbers. Pretty good numbers. So maybe the banks are an indicator that the economy in the United States is not as bad as people were thinking.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, we did get a bit of a bump on that, right? So we're kicking off earnings season. It's created a little bit of optimism there. We'll see how this flows out. But the banks did reasonably well.
Yeah. So the other part of the banks week, or the week of the banks, was on the Canadian side.
Yeah.
So there was a gentleman by the name of Steve Eisman, portfolio manager at Neuberger and Berman.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that's people would know him as, you know, from that movie, The Big Short, or the book, The Big Short.
Correct. So he was the one who basically called the demise of the banking sector in the United States when 2008 hit.
Yep.
He made a ton of money for his investors by what's called shorting, which is basically selling the investment in advance,
profiting when it falls,
and then when it falls, buying it back, so you make a profit. So he was on a major news network here in Canada, came out and said he is shorting the Canadian banks.
Yep.
So now, because of his call that he's made in the past and everything, so people are talking about, you know, the shorting of Canadian bank stocks.
That's right.
And is there a problem? I want to just kind of not really address the shorting of the benefits of Canadian banks, because I think what we need to look at is what's the fundamentals of why he's thinking of what he's thinking.
Right.
And one of the key things he talked about is loan losses. And loan losses are when an institution, a financial institution, just writes off debt that they can't collect.
Yep.
So here's some interesting information, Dave. Credit card information came out recently. Delinquencies of 90 days or greater, relatively low. So not a big issue right now.
Yeah.
But here's something that came out of Royal Bank's report. A Royal Bank report said that consumers have cut their average monthly payments.
Okay.
Originally, back in October.
To their credit cards, you're saying.
To their credit cards,
let's be clear. Yeah.
Okay, so this is credit card debt.
Yep.
Most loans are fixed payment loans, so you're paying principal and interest, so you're just paying that every single month. Think of a car loan or a mortgage or whatever.
Yep.
On a credit card, you have to pay a certain percentage of the outstanding balance, but you can pay the whole balance at any point in time.
Right. A minimum balance up to the full thing.
Correct. Yep. So back in October, they saw that consumers were paying about 50% of their credit card balance.
Okay.
Now, fast forward to February, it's gone down to 38%.
Mm.
So Canadians are paying down their credit card less. So you and I had a conversation about this,
mm-hmm.
and said, okay, well, that's great for the banks because they're going to make more interest on that outstanding balance.
Sure. Assuming.
Sure.
My concern is, what is a sign of the Canadian consumer when they're unable to make that payment?
Or unwilling.
Or unwilling. And even if you look at, according to the Bank of Canada, residential mortgage growth registered a 3.2% year-over-year in February. This is the lowest reading since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And barely half of the 6% monthly average logged since the housing boom gathered steam in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So less mortgages. People are not buying as many homes. That's partly because of the interest rates going up, partly because of tax changes.
Maybe delay here. There's some other reasons. Yeah.
It's all economically driven at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting about this shorting of Canadian bank stocks, about the credit card balances, about not as much mortgage growth, those are all indicators that things are slowing down in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And what concerns me is the amount of people that have asked for second opinions from us this week and how much debt they still have.
Right.
Retirees or people entering retirement are entering retirement with more and more debt.
Right.
And we're not talking people that have no savings.
Yep.
We're talking about millionaires.
Right.
Multimillionaires.
Yep.
Putting a lot of money in debt. And hope being the key word here, that they're going to be able to service that debt in these low interest rates throughout their retirement.
Right.
So my concern is, if any demographic that should be more fiscally ready, it would be the boomers. It would be the ones who are entering retirement. And the ones, at least anecdotally this week, the ones that I've seen, the ones that you've seen, are in more and more debt. And these numbers from Royal Bank are a testament to it.
Well, I don't want to wave the white flag yet on that, because it's, one data point doesn't make a trend. We've got to see the trend. So if the trend is that Canadian consumers, and listen, we've talked about this for a long time, Canadian consumers have used their bank, their homes as an ATM, and the home prices have now flattened out or started to move lower, and interest rates have started to move higher, that's a bad combination there, right? Because you're going to eat into your overall net worth, that asset.
So guess what people are doing now? They're going to the car dealerships and they're trading in their vehicle. They're getting a loan on that old vehicle to get a newer vehicle with lower payments for the next 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
8 year car loans, Dave.
Yep.
And they're entering retirement.
Right.
That concerns me. Like, you're loading yourself up with debt, and this is not good debt. This is depreciating debt or non-existent assets. So lifestyle debt.
Right.
And you're loading up on this as you go into retirement, and you want your fixed savings to somehow pay for that and your lifestyle.
Yeah. So I can make an argument on both sides of that. I'm less concerned about those two things than I am, buying new stereos and, financing a vacation and all those kinds of things. You can definitely do some planning. You got to lay money out for a car, whether you pay $50,000 today or you're going to pay payments over time. But it has to be planned for, right? You got to understand what the implications of that. It's got to be built into your lifestyle cost, right? But the bigger problem, the economic problem, I want to go back to for a minute. So we've raised this issue of the Canadian economy, and there's lots of people. We talk to clients and just people on the street, and people are concerned about the Canadian economy. Here's the good news: is depending on your view of the Canadian economy, you don't have to be invested here. You can be invested anywhere you want.
Yeah, that's a growth conversation.
We see lots of portfolios.
They're so heavily Canadian invested, it's crazy.
Right. So if this is just my point, and we've talked about this before, is if you do have concerns about a particular area, and we're talking about Canada today, with a push of a button, you can take your money out of Canada, and you can invest somewhere else.
Yeah. So if Morneau or Trudeau listening to the show, Dave Popwich is the one who said that, not me. He's the one promoting capital leaving this country.
Well, listen, I'm not the only one, unfortunately.
Well, right? I'm only joking. I think that you're absolutely right. I think that you go where the money is to be made.
Yeah.
That simple.
That's right. And you've got the freedom to be able to do that.
And that's a message to all levels of government.
Yep.
That if capital is flowing out of this country, if the average Canadian can invest anywhere in the world And with the proper structure, they're not investing in Canada. They're not investing in Alberta. They're not investing in Calgary. That's a testament to our economy.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, listen, we're going to have to go to break here just a minute. But before we do, let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, let's talk about all this a little bit further and how you bulletproof your retirement on Tuesday, April 23rd, 8:30 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. Now, you need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You're curious about what an alternative investment is? You interested in infrastructure? Stick around for the next segment. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.